Well, this morning, keys to the kingdom of God. Now, this was, I think I have a different approach than I've ever had before. So, we find in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Now, keys to the kingdom. Now, if you think about it, the kingdom of God and keys, okay? I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, keys are a word that we're very familiar with. Now, in the time that this was written, I don't think keys were that important. Maybe the king would have it, or some treasurer, or some caravan. They might have lock boxes and things like that, but they didn't lock their houses. It's like being in El Salvador. The windows are open. I mean, there's nothing in them. And some of the remote communities, they have bars over the windows, but no windows. So anything can fly in, crawl in. I think they removed 10 scorpions from the house that Dave and Michael moved in when Emma was like 3 years old. And I was like, David, you can't move out there. And he said, well, we cleaned out all the scorpions. It's like, I was like, whoa, she's a little kid and she'll be crawling. What are these little bugs, So anyhow, we know what keys are. I imagine, how many have keys today? Keys to your house, keys to the car. You can't get home if you don't have your keys. Can't get into church if you didn't bring them. I gave a set of keys away, and so Rhonda didn't have her keys, so I'd have mine, So keys, and keys are a very important part of our life. I think sometimes they're the most sought after things. Anybody ever lost your keys? That and your cell phone. So I won't go there. So once or twice I locked myself out of the motorhome, maybe three times. And that had a big high window by the driver's seat. And so I always left that unlocked. So the first time I shoved Jackson through it, that was when he was little. But when he wasn't around, I went through it. That made funniest home videos. So keys have to do with things that are important to us. You don't have to raise your hand on this one. But how many have keys at a neighbor or a friend's? In case you lose yours or get locked or have them stashed somewhere outside of the house. So you give your keys only to people you would trust or hide them in a certain place so that no one would be able to find them to break into your house. So this passage here that we are reading, and there's more to it, holds some very profound significance for us. It says that there is in the keys there is spiritual authority, there is access to the kingdom of God, and there's the power of the gospel. So there's authority, access and power in your keys. So the promise to the keys is set within the context of what Jesus is saying to Peter. So this is Matthew 16:15. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he has asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Okay, and the disciples are giving him a rundown on, well, some people say you're Elijah, some people say you're John the Baptist, resurrected, some people, one of the prophets, so they had many different opinions. But Jesus says, after they gave their rendition of what they had heard or what they thought Jesus would be, Jesus asked them, the disciples, who do you say that I am? So then it made it very specific. And this kind of is where we are at in our individual life. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you believe Jesus to be to your life? Well, Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we find that there's a number of revelations going on here. And we begin with Jesus declaring, who do you say I am? And we do that same thing to us. Jesus speaks to us. Who do you say Jesus is? So understanding who Jesus is the revelation from God. So understanding that Christ is our Savior means that we have faith enough to ask him to forgive us. You know, how much faith does it say to Father, forgive me for I have sinned? Well, some people will never say it, and some people don't believe it when they say it. But the bottom line is God understands it. And so when we make that confession, we are declaring our faith in Christ. And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Jesus used there's a couple of things that go on here. There's one group of people that say, well, Peter is the rock that Jesus is building his church on. And we say that the message that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, Son of the living God, that's the truth. That's the rock. Well, in the Greek, Peter literally means pebble, movable, and the foundational truth of Christ being the Messiah and the Son of the living God means an immovable rock, you know, a huge rock that you can't move. So that's why we look at the truth that Jesus is the Messiah and he is the one upon which the church is built. Revelation of God that Jesus is God come to us, the incarnation. God became man so that we could understand the ways of God. So Jesus was saying to the church that he would not build on Peter, the pebble, but on Christ. Ephesians 3:19 and 20 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers. So whenever you give your life to Christ, you're no longer a foreigner or stranger, but you are a fellow citizen with God's people. Now, again, going back to the Sunday school lesson, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and together we are the body of Christ. So we are not to war against one another, fight against, because we're all part of the same body. Citizens of God's people, also members of his household. Okay? So we're pulling this revelation together. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Now we as believers are of the household of faith, built on the foundation of the apostles. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So everything we believe that is written by the apostles and the doctrines and things that we have, they are built upon Jesus Christ and that foundation that is unshakable, unmovable, and is eternal. So, to whom are the keys given? Who are the keys given to? Verse 19 and 20 again. That the keys, the citizens of God's people. God gives to the citizens, his body, he gives them the keys. Why? So that we have access. Okay? We have access to the things of God. That whenever we pray, there is this, you know, promises in the Bible, there are these scriptures, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that God is with us in every situation. He has a plan, a purpose, a path. So we have access to God. Well, so Jesus is using this illustration as keys. Keys saying, you have access. Now, the keys of the kingdom represent the authority entrusted to believers. Now, the people who own the keys or have the keys to your house are entrusted. They're entrusted by you to keep those keys sacred or special, and don't make copies and give them to your neighbors. You know, I'm looking for the keys to your neighbor's house. Do you have them? Oh, yeah, we have a bunch of them, you know. No. So keys of the kingdom represent authority entrusted to believers, and keys open and lock. It's important we get the two of those, open and lock, symbolizing the power to act in alignment with God's word. Act in alignment with God's word. Pray ye one for another. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All things will be added unto you. Praying for wisdom and guidance. You have keys. And so accessing the promises of the gospel, a part of those keys. So when you pray, I don't sit down and say, well, I'm praying for healing, so I got to pull out a key and say, this is a healing key. I got to go unlock that. But we have keys, and those keys are there. So we are given a spiritual authority, meaning we have the authority to share the gospel. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Good. Open the door. That's a key to open the door to God. No one gets to God except through Christ. So when we explain that, we open the door. It's like a key opening a door. Jesus said in Revelation, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him. Remember that picture of Jesus knocking at the door? If you ever notice, there's no doorknob because the doorknob's on the inside. Only the person on the inside can open the door. So we are to power to share the gospel. We are to pray with the understanding that our prayer has power. John 14:13-14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now that's quite a lot of authority. I'm giving to you, and I want you to ask in my name, the name of Jesus, I want you to do this. So through Christ, we are given spiritual authority. And we have spiritual authority through Christ. Just a different way of saying it. But Jesus is the one who gives us the authority. This isn't something you fill out the blanks on this paper and hand it in to me, and I'll tell you if you have it. No, you have authority in Christ because God has given it to you. To declare freedom to those who are bound, knowing that Jesus has broken the chains of death, hell, and the grave. The keys represent spiritual authority. Second, the keys have access to the kingdom of God. Access to the kingdom. Possessing keys means that you have the power to open and close doors, to permit or to restrict. Matthew 16:19, again. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I was going to have somebody come up and tie them up and do all that, but I thought, well, she's not here. So she must have known I was going to pick on her today, and she didn't come. So anyhow, but do you remember the Lord's Prayer? Okay? The part that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you see there, what we were praying in the Lord's Prayer even, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So let your will be done. That's the key. We have the key to open the kingdom of heaven. There we are binding. We can bind the works of darkness. It's important to remember. We, through Christ, have the power to bind the works of darkness, sin, fear, oppression, through prayer and faith. We can pray that God would bind the works of darkness. We can pray, we can loose the blessing of God. God, we pray for a blessing of God to fall upon, to be with people, to be with certain individuals. We pray that it would be a peace and joy and healing into the life that is needed. So when what we're doing is unlocking, as it were, that blessing to be upon our life or upon the life of others. This authority is not ours. It comes from Jesus. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ and our obedience to him is access. We have full access to God. And he's just using this as a way to illustrate to the people, to the disciples, and to us that these keys are very important. Binding and loosing can only be expressed in can also be expressed in permitting and forbidding. And the keys of the kingdom of heaven, they represent authority. Christ gives his authority here to Peter, and Jesus says, "I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The keys, the authority given to Peter, are the same keys and authority given to believers. This isn't just for an exclusive group. Every believer has the keys. Do you ever have a whole bunch of keys and you don't know what they go to? Well, I think sometimes as Christians, we have all these keys, you know, all these promises and all these things that are spiritual things, and we don't know what they belong to. People, I don't know how to use them. Well, we need to be like, who has the keys? Who has the master key in the school? The principal and the janitor. So in our life, we may, well, we're not that important to have all the keys. Well, hey, do you clean up the place? We are one of God's kingdoms, you know. We're one of his children. There is no class system where only certain people have the keys. It's to everyone. So the keys of authority are given to Peter, but they're also given to us. It is this authority to declare what is bound on earth that it will be bound in heaven. What is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when we pray with authority, it's on the basis of God's word. What is God saying? We have to know the scriptures in order to pray in authority. The keys given to are to unlock and bind, Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter declares a divine truth about Jesus. You are the Christ. Now, God gives to us, built upon the revelation that we already have in our heart. What revelation, what understanding do we have of God? Well, God builds upon that. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, Peter, that truth is where I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to give you the keys. Now, the keys are what? It is in response to declaring a divine truth, God gives a divine truth. Without Peter knowing the truth about Jesus, he would not have been able to receive the divine truth. If he didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah, he wasn't capable of understanding that God was giving him keys. And he's, you know, again, it doesn't mean he understood it exactly at the moment, but it was there in his life and he began to understand the process. So in our life, it isn't that we understand everything about the kingdom of God, but we are continuing to know and grow and understand. So Jesus is letting Peter and you and I know that we are not alone in waging war against sin. Now, we have to remember Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. Jesus descended into hell. He died. He descended into the lower parts. He descended into hell, and he took from Satan the keys, death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the dead. That was the ultimate defeat. Satan was defeated, but ultimately now he was put in the grave. He's done. So Jesus has the keys. Who does he give them to? The church. He gives the keys to the church. Believers have the authority. We have the authority over darkness. The Holy Spirit empowers us for victory. The keys of the kingdom can lock Satan and evil out. Okay? They can lock the door to let Satan and evil keep them out. But did you know that? Did you notice this verse? It says the keys. Let me read it. So that we have the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That the keys of that we have are to unlock the gates of hell. We have the keys to unlock the gates of hell. Why? To boldly proclaim the message of Christ and set people free. We would look at people's lives that are lost, have addictions, and are just lost to this, to what we would say to the kingdom of God, because look at their life, and that would be to us the gates of hell are saying to us, you can't, do not enter, no access, and the, you know, it's there, and God is saying, I gave you the keys. Go unlock that door. We have the keys to unlock the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the word, against the believer. That's the whole crux of what I want to say today, is this section, that we have, God gave to Peter the keys, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is going to build his church, and who's he going to build it with? Sinners. People who don't know him. Sinners build the church. How do sinners build the church? They give their life to Christ. Well, how do they have victory over their sin? The blood of Christ. We give them the keys. We unlock the door. We let the light of Christ shine in their life. So we're finding here that the keys are to unlock the gates of hell and boldly proclaim the message of Christ. Set people free. Get people out of prison. It's a divine pardon. Not a presidential pardon. It's a divine pardon. Set people free. So Jesus, at his death on the cross, descended into hell, took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So we are not hiding. We are not hiding behind some wall. The church is going forward, unlocking people from their chains of sin. We are unlocking them by the word of God. It sets them free. The chains are broken. People are lost without Christ. The lost being bound and held captive by addictions behind the gates of sin, behind the gates of hell, and that it is our responsibility to pray for them and to set them free. Why? We have the keys. What are the keys? They are spiritual authority. What are the keys? We have access to the kingdom of God. And we have keys to the power of God. So you find that, who do you see being bound? Who do we see as being bound and lost in their sin? Who do we see as almost like, well, God could never save them? Guess what? That's not true. Well, they're behind, they're locked up in their sin. Oh, good, I got keys. So we should pray for them. We should pray for those who are lost, believing and bind the powers of darkness. Bind it, why? Because they're already bound. God, you know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, descended into hell, he gave them a heart attack because he rose from the dead, and they couldn't prevent it. So we find that we are involved in a spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare, our weapons are faith, our weapons are truth, prayer, and the power of God's word. Truth, prayer, and the power of God's word. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers and authorities and darkness in this world and heavenly places. It's out there, but guess what? I got the keys. We have the authority over them because of what Jesus has given to us. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. What are we to pray for? God, open their mind. Take away the veil. Take away the darkness. Let them see. See, we do battle. We engage the enemy of God through the power of Jesus' name, through the blood of Christ. Revelation 12, 11, the trumpet, the triumph over Satan. We triumph over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So it's important that we have this declaration about God. People have often said they want to storm heaven, and that is good. But you know what? We can storm hell. We can storm the gates of hell. Why? And blow them down. You know, there was a prison in, you know, one of the third world countries, and it was made out of paper mache. All the walls, you know, the guard towers and walls and stuff, they were all made out of paper mache. And it was a high security prison. And they kept people in there for years. And people, it looked so real that the people never attempted to break through the walls. It'd be foolish. But you know what? Satan has blinded people's eyes, and in their addictive behaviors and in their inability to see what really is there, they are bound and held prisoner by paper mache. The real freedom is given through Christ, who breaks down the walls of sin, of hell, of defeat, of addictions, all those things. It is the power of God. We have the authority of the Word of God. We have the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit. The sword. Go forth. You know, the sword is given to go into battle. That's an offensive weapon. We have the shield of faith, but we have the sword of the Spirit. Helmet of salvation. Protect your thoughts. You know, gospel of peace. We're at peace, going to war. So through the Spirit, we can discern truth, overcome sin, operate in the spiritual gifts. The kingdom of heaven is the rule and reign of God over all creation. And I want to close. I have Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, so we talk about binding and loosing. Go back to the very beginning, Genesis 3. And this is God's declaration to Adam and Eve. And in this declaration, he has given them a hope of a Messiah. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Another version says, I will make you and the woman hate each other, Satan. I will make you, Satan, and the woman hate each other, and your seed and her seed will hate each other. The seed of the woman, he shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel. You see, it predicts the full victory of God over Satan. It is the prophecy of spiritual conflict between the woman's offspring, Jesus, and Satan's evil forces. God reveals that Jesus will be born of a woman, and the strike to his heel will be his unjust death on the cross. But Satan could only bruise Christ's heel that caused him to suffer, while Christ will crush Satan's head and destroy him. So from this very beginning in the book of Genesis, there is this understanding that there is keys to the kingdom of God, and God is going to crush the head of Satan. He is going to destroy the works of Satan because he is going to rise from the dead. He is going to live triumphantly, and we as his followers, as his children, we're going to live forever with him. He overcame death, penalty of sin, penalty of death. It's all gone. We're resurrected. We're forgiven. And the God of peace will crush, this is Romans 16, 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Nowhere does it say differently in the scriptures. Always, the joke was, if you want to write Satan a message, put it on the bottom of your foot. So believers should recognize they participate in the crushing of Satan because we pray, because we believe, because we know that God is real and he forgives us and we are his children. And so Jesus says to Peter, what about you, Peter, or to the disciples, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. Our revelation of Jesus Christ, our understanding of Jesus, isn't just something we learn in church and Bible study and all that and reading the scriptures. It's a revelation from God to make that application to our life. When God gives us that aha moment, oh, that's the revelation that comes to us. Flesh and blood doesn't do this. God does. And I tell you that you are Peter. And I'm going to build my church upon that understanding that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Binding and loosing are very much a part of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And you see, because thine is the power, to God is the glory. See, it's not about us, it's about God. And he has given to us keys of the kingdom to bind and loose, to unlock and lock. And we do that through our prayers. So we pray with the authority of God's word, that God always hears us when we pray. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. No matter what it looks like behind those walls of their sin, God has the keys. And his key is the word, authority, power, and access to the kingdom. We open it up and we walk in because we belong there. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for your word that gives to us strength. We thank you, Lord, for how that you watch over us. And Lord, there are many things we don't understand why they happen the way they do. But God, we have access to the throne room of God. And it is into your throne room we walk and sit. And we meditate on you and on your word. Help us, God, to access your authority and your power that we may have strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Amen. Amen.